This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
The late, great Shirley Chisholm said that if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. It is with this in mind that ILTA Publications takes aim at boardrooms everywhere and asks, what seat would you pull up to the table? Joining the podcast today is Angela Dowd, Director of Practice Innovation at Burns & Levinson. And Angela is a former ILTA Board Director President, and she continues to serve today as our ILTA Board Treasurer. I'm Beth Ann Stevie. I'm the Director of Publications and Press, and today I'm talking to Angela about her chair, who else is at the table, why tech is important, cycling, and adventure, and why these things so readily mix with tech. So join us at the table, and welcome, Angela.
Thank you.
I'm really excited to have you on board. Not only do I find your work with ILTA inspiring, but I also see you as sort of an interesting place in tech professionalism, especially on the legal tech side. You've been in tech for a while, and you've been at your firm in Boston for the majority of your career. Boston's amazing. So how do you feel that Boston, ILTA, tech, have they really given you an expert look into the fishbowl?
So I think of myself as sort of an accidental IT professional, if you will. I came into legal, actually in human resources. I had moved to Boston in the vein of adventure for a boat, which was moored off of Martha's Vineyard at the time. And so I needed to be closer to the boat, which is how I ended up in Boston. And I sort of fell into a law firm because they would pay me and I had a little experience doing HR. And then from there, I moved into IT, doing training and applications. So that's why I call myself sort of an accidental IT professional. But I think that in some ways, my evolution in a law firm is very similar to sort of how legal technology has evolved, where, you know, it's really moved from being the domain of people who just do technology to sort of a bit of everybody's bag, where everybody uses technology now, and it sort of touches every portion. The wonderful thing about being in Boston is that it's a great mix of sort of old and new, is that, you know, it's a historic city, there have a lot of culturally things based on tradition, but at the same time, there's a lot of startups, there's a lot of innovation. So you have that really good mix of sort of old, new, small, big. It's really a very fun microcosm.
Got a really cool job title. Can you talk to me a little bit about what the Director of Practice Innovation does every day?
So basically, I help solve business problems, the best way I can put it. What happened is that I, a while ago, was the applications manager here, but I found that what people really wanted to talk to me about was bigger problems that they were having. So they would say, oh, I need X. And then you would ask them why they needed that. And they would sort of slowly peel back until you got to the root of the business problem that they were trying to solve. And what they were really looking for is a partner to help them fix those issues. And so that's how the firm came up with the title Director of Practice Innovation, where it was really about, you know, going out, talking to different groups, whether that's administrative groups, whether that's practice groups, and really listening to their issues and then helping to find solutions that go across groups that really help the firm match to its strategic plan.
Can you talk to me a little bit about how that role has really influenced your role as an ILTA board member, both as president, certainly over the past few years and through ILTA's evolution, and then into your role now?
I think that for me, it in some ways matched really well with ILTA's evolution and that, again, you know, I used to be in the more hard tech line, if you will, where I was doing more, you know, what people would consider traditional technology roles. But as, you know, time evolved and tech became more prevalent, people didn't need those highly technical skills. What they were really looking for is people to help them with the business of law. And I think that that's really helped me with ILTA as well, because that's what a lot of people are focused on. Not to say that we are putting the technology aside, absolutely not. It's crucial in so, so many ways. But now there has to be that translation, that there isn't a tool for just the tool's sake, that really it's how does that fit with your culture? How does that fit with your needs, your tolerance for change, and all of those sorts of bits and pieces?
I really like the phrase tolerance for change, because I think, especially for the idea of this podcast, that getting a seat at the table really does talk about that tolerance for change. So if they don't give you a seat at the table and you were to bring your own chair, what chair would you be bringing, Angela?
Well, if I could bring my own chair and weight and size wasn't an issue, there's the Jacobson Egg chair, which I just absolutely love the look of. It's sort of like, it's, I love the lines of it. I love how it just, it feels like it's sort of like, it's just cushy and comfy, and but at the same time, it sort of cradles you. That being said, it's really big and cumbersome and not really one that you can really bring to the table. So honestly, I would bring just a good backpacking or camping chair, something I can pack up, put in a bag, sling over my shoulder, and move with it. I probably want something that is kind of stable, so I don't want to focus on it tipping over, but at the same time, you know, I don't have a lot of needs. I'm a pretty small person, so I could just, you know, really any camping chair will do.
I love that answer. And that kind of begets the next question. If you brought that, you know, sling back camping chair in with us, what would your ideal table look like? And who's there?
Table. So I, you know, while I love the, again, the architectural look of sort of, you know, interesting tables and slab tables and things like that, I just want sort of a large oval or round table. I love how when there are no sort of corners, it really helps promote that conversation. You don't get those pockets, if you will, where, you know, people are sort of on one long end or the other. And I really love tables with a variety of people. I want people with just a diversity of backgrounds, of experiences. I really like people who are sort of this idea of, you know, Renaissance men and women, people who have diverse experience outside of whatever we're talking about as well. I find that that really leads to a much more interesting and fun conversation.
I think that idea about diversity at a table puts us perfectly into when you and I were sitting at ILTACON last year in 2019, and the hackathons were starting to evolve. We were in the diversity and inclusion room, and we were there as the conversation really did evolve into what that core value would look like. It was adopted this year, and how do you think it will strengthen ILTA as we move past 2020 and into the future?
I think that, you know, diversion and really inclusiveness, you know, is so, so important overall and also for ILTA. You know, legal and technology both historically have had a bit of a homogeneous look and feel to them. But whenever you have, you know, more voices, more experiences, people who are comfortable coming up and discussing those experiences, I think that that just strengthens the entire group in a way that you cannot have otherwise. You get viewpoints that you didn't get. You consider things that you've never considered. It opens opportunities. People are more creative. People are more honest. I think, you know, only good things can come from really strengthening our diversity and inclusion.
Do you think that people are more apt, if you will, to talk freely about technology, about themselves, about where they'd like to see their company moves if the room has people who look like them in it versus just that sort of, you know, mantle view, if you will?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that that's one of the reasons why, you know, I know that we do a lot virtually and we need to, we're a global organization, but one of the reasons I think that ILTA does really well on some of its local meetings, conferences, is that you have that ability to see people, that representation, and see people who are like you or similar to you who have succeeded. You can learn from them, you can borrow from their tips and tricks and their tools and sort of customize it to what fits for you. You know, seeing what is possible, I think, is so much more powerful than just being told that it is.
I think that that works incredibly well, especially at events like ILTACON or just at New York Legal Week. Seeing the rooms change has been a huge part of it. And it's certainly a huge part of our ILTA sessions. We had an entire panel that were just women for the first time.
Absolutely. But it's also that you get to see different women of different backgrounds, of different personalities. You know, you have some women who are leaders who are perhaps more quiet, who you have some who are more assertive. You have ones who come from, you know, a very storied background, some who have perhaps, you know, had a different path to get there. And I think that being able to see that diversity of experience in women and diversity of personalities and how they achieve leadership is so important because you, again, to that point, you get to pick what works well for you. I have great friends who are, you know, strong, assertive women. They can, you know, do and say things, and they're comfortable doing and saying things that it's just not me. And so, you know, I've taken some of the things that they do, but I take some things that perhaps somebody else who's more introverted like myself will do. So I really just love the fact that you get that large range.
Switching kind of topics from, you know, really strong tech and really strong leadership, because I think there's a really strong correlation between professionalism and passion. And I know, like me, that you're an avid cyclist, an outdoors person. Do you believe that there is a correlation between passion and profession?
Absolutely. For me, I don't think that I could be the professional that I am without the passion. And honestly, vice versa. I mean, they, for me, provide a balance. And it's that I can devote my time and my energy to being good at what I do in the boardroom, at the workplace, because I know that, you know, the weekend's going to come and I'm going to hit the slopes, or I'm going to hit the trails or the beach. And, you know, having that sort of balance in life, I think, is so important. And I think that each of them is also complementary in the sense that, you know, if I'm out on the trails, it's teaching me things. It's teaching me to be adaptable, because there's nothing like being outdoors and realizing how little you control in the universe. You know, you can't control the weather. You can't control all sorts of things that happen to you out there. It broadens my perspectives. You meet really unique and interesting people. And on the flip side, you know, while it sounds like I could be in sun, surf, and sand indefinitely, I'm still at the point in my life where I would miss that intellectual challenge that the profession provides. You know, I love that sort of Gordian knot, if you will, that is legal IT. It's the business challenges, you're mixing in the people, you're mixing in like a good dose of technology. And how do you solve these problems to help our clients and you know, get this knot out of the twist that it's in? And I think that, you know, the wonderful thing about both things is that you really do meet really interesting people in both fronts that really help you. You know, they help you grow, and growth on that passion front inevitably leads to growth on the professional front and vice versa. And I'll be honest, at ILTA, I have met some wonderful and interesting people who have helped me not only in my profession, but some of them are also adventurers. And as you said, cyclists, and honestly, some of my favorite people in the world.
As we close out our conversation today, I have two things I really want to know, and I'm sure many of our ILTA volunteers want to know. What's next for you with ILTA, and where do you see ILTA going?
What's next with me for ILTA? Well, at the moment, I am treasurer of the board of directors, and after that, I don't really know. And I'm actually, you know, kind of excited about that as well. I think that, you know, I've done a lot of things with ILTA. I wish to continue to volunteer and to give. But what that next step is, I am not sure of. And I sort of, it's kind of exciting not to know what that next step is. The possibilities are open, and I really like that. What's next for ILTA, I think, is, you know, I think that as ILTA continues to grow and change, I see it as really being a place that is already welcoming. I see it being even more welcoming, and more welcoming to a larger variety of people from different backgrounds, from different roles. I'm really excited that we are, you know, growing internationally, because I think that that adds a really diverse voice in a different way, in a cultural sense, so we aren't so U.S.-centric, if you will. And really, that just helps all of us, you know, look at these problems in new and interesting ways and find better solutions.
I'm excited to see what's next for you. And I'm really grateful that you pulled up your chair with us today. Thank you, Angela.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.